The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Best Of Podcast.
Second hour of National Signing Day. Tom Van Herren with us earlier with the big news that Alabama has cleaned up today and Georgia is right behind. Most of that had been known. Georgia already has a commitment for 24. South Carolina was probably the big fish of the day. Let's get back to the calls. And Mark is in Arkansas. Hello, Mark.
Paul, how are you?
Very well. Thank you for calling.
I called in the other day when that 96-year-old doctor called.
Yes, sir.
And he was such an inspiration. I called talking about my mother from Scotland, talking about the lingerie. She would rub all the TV when Texas played us.
Yeah, I do
but
remember that.
It reminded me of how the players are today and how it changed today and all, how they talk about getting money and everything. But it reminded me of how the recruits are. And it reminded me how all the Alabama players were and how they got the recruits. How do you think Arkansas and the rest of the schools stack up to the Alabamas and the Georgias today and the LSUs?
Well, again, based on what the experts say, it was Alabama, Georgia, and then LSU, and then Tennessee, Florida were next, and then you had a bunch of schools that came in. I think Arkansas had a good year. Auburn was a big surprise, I think, because they exceeded expectations. I can't give you chapter and verse on once you get past the first four or five what it means. It means that everybody got a number of good players and tried to fill their needs. And the most important thing now, really, Mark, is how those players are developed. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Skyler is up next in South Carolina.
How's it going, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you for calling.
Hey, so one of the biggest questions that I have, I know South Carolinians from the University of South Carolina sometimes has the tendency of getting ahead of the ball game, especially when you got a coach like Shane Beamer coming in hot. The biggest question, do you think that Shane Beamer has the potential of, you know, bringing a natty to South Carolina?
I do. And you do it by getting elite classes. Now, he has to continue. It's a fact that those who play for the national championship usually, not always, because TCU is an outlier, but those who win the national championships have had a top recruiting class. And I think he's proving that he can get better players in there. South Carolina has done this before. You know that. Beamer did that when Spurrier was there. And I think he's well on his way in doing it again. And I also point to the fact that Clemson has won two national championships and played for four. And I think in the SEC, you're always in contention. It will help when we get to a 12-team playoff, because right now the path to the national championship is blocked by Georgia. I mean, they pretty much have that Eastern Division locked down at the moment.
And that's a big question, too, when it comes into that. Georgia has ran the SEC East. You know, I know we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves again when you think about when Oklahoma and Texas come to our division. You know, so things get more difficult for Shane and Natty.
Skyler, it gets more difficult, but it also gives you more chances to get to the playoffs. Where right now in the SEC, you know, we've seen two get in a couple of times. We saw two get in 17. We saw two get in 21. We almost saw it this year again, but they're usually the same two.
Which is true. And you know, looking at it from the, you know, South Carolina side of things, Clemson's always been dominant in our state. So from looking at it from that perspective, I personally think, I mean, I'm great to hear from how you think about Shane. I personally think that he has the momentum, and I don't think that South Carolinians from the University of South Carolina have felt this since T. Spurrier.
Well, there's been no reason to feel it. I mean, Muschamp was... Muschamp was a very average head coach.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I do appreciate, you know, speaking with you today, and go Gamecocks.
Thank you. Appreciate the optimism, and you should have it there. Let's check in with Coley next. Hey, Coley, good afternoon to you.
Hey, Paul, you doing okay today?
I am. Thank you.
Good. I was just calling. I've been trying to get in for the past couple weeks. I know you've hit on Coach Freeze a lot and this, that, and the other, but just maybe like a report card, A, B, C, D, E, F, of what you personally think of Coach Freeze and his fit at Auburn.
I would give him an A easily because I think he's come in, he's changed the culture, which is really the most important thing you have to do as a head coach, is change the dynamics within the system. He's got a very good staff. And he's going out there and recruiting at a top level. And Brian Harsin wasn't. I mean, Brian Harsin didn't have that program in the top 50. And Hugh Freeze right now probably has Auburn inside the top 20 very comfortably, and maybe even – I mean, remember, this is not even – I mean, this is not even a full recruiting class. He's only been there for 2 months. And I think what Auburn has to do, and I think they will do, is get inside the top 10 and keep moving up, because Auburn can recruit at that level, and Hugh Freeze has proven he can recruit at that level, and you have an enthusiasm and a fan base right now that is buying in, and that has not happened really for about 6 or 7 years. The last 4 or 5 years of Malzahn, fans had begun to tune out. You know that.
Oh, yeah, I was right there. I was one of them, Paul. And while I have you on the line, it's been a couple of years, and I don't get to listen as much as I did when I was in school, but how's Charles from Realtown? I hadn't heard him on the radio in a long time.
It's been at least 6 months since we've heard from Charles. I don't know what's going on with him. Every time you think he's dead and buried, he pops back up. It seems like I would have heard if something had happened to him. I don't know why he can't call in. Maybe his schedule precludes him from doing that. But we would love to hear from him again. Thank you very much. Todd is up next. Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call, buddy. Hey, I want to tell you something that I want to ask you a couple of questions. I found out today that Larry is quite the ladies' man. It was kind of hard to believe, but I come through Columbiana a little while ago. And I looked over to my right, coming out of a building, Larry had two women arm in arm coming out, and each one of them ladies did have a cane in the other hand, but it wasn't a VA, it was the nursing home.
Listen, Larry, Larry does not discriminate by age, so.
I don't think so, Paul, but anyway, hey, something I wanted to ask you, how many coaches can you have on a staff?
Well, I'm pretty sure they just added a spot. So it's either what, 9 or it used to be 8 or 9. I think it's is it 10 now? I'll double check.
Okay. But also, I saw on TV during this year that Todd Grantham was on Saban's staff, and what is he, an analyst, Paul?
Yeah, Todd is sitting in the Butch Jones chair in the other room. The one, remember when you were in fourth grade, you had a little desk.
Okay. I just wondered because everything I've seen him, he was at Georgia and he was at Florida with Dan Mullins, and he doesn't have the right temperament for the job. They tried to jump on Derek. What was the coach at Vanderbilt? Dan Mullins and him got out on the field, Paul. You should remember that.
I do. Nick Saban probably feels like he owes Todd Grantham. What year was it? Was it 17 or 18? I guess it was 17. Remember that game against Mississippi State and Dan Mullen? I mean, Mississippi State had the game won, and at the end of the game, I think Alabama was trailing. It was a night game, and Grantham decided to be a hero, and he blitzed every gown, and Jalen Hurts shredded this guy and made him look absolutely stupid, and it cost Mississippi State the game. It kept Alabama alive for the national championship in the SEC.
Oh, okay. Hey, and also, I was thinking about something else, but I'm kind of getting like, oh, AJ up at Pell City. I draw the blank, Paul. But anyway, thank you for letting me in, Paul. Love you, brother. Y'all have a good day.
You be well. Thank you so much. Thanks a lot. Ken is up next. Hey, Ken, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
We are doing great.
let me ask you something, Paul, and I want you to tell me your really your opinion on this.
Okay.
With the defense that we have now that we recruited this year, with a good defensive coordinator, do you believe Alabama can be right back up there with Georgia?
Yes, I do. I think right now, Alabama probably in Vegas will be the second pick to win it all next year after Georgia.
Well, Paul, let me say this. You know, and I mean this with all my heart. This is one thing I want Alabama to remember. If you always do what you've always done, you will always get what you always got.
If you always do what you've always done, you always get what you're. Did I get that right? Okay. Is that did someone? Do you know who made that statement? Was that Lord Acton or?
I don't know who
Voltaire
it was,
or?
Paul. But I had a fella tell me that one time when I wasn't doing too well, and that's exactly what he told me, and I'll never forget it. He said, if you always do what you've always done, son, you'll always get what you always got.
Okay, we just looked at a quote up in Wikipedia, and it's attributed to Joe from Red Bay.
Okay.
We'll be right back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We're back, and with Beyonce announcing her world tour today, we asked the Twitter question, what is your dream concert? And the winning answer so far is Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass. What was that yesterday? Let's check in with Joe, who is up next in Georgia. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
We are well. Thank you.
Heard your last caller. I mean, that was Henry Ford that said that, basically, that you always do, or whatever it was, you always get what you got.
Right.
I mean, is that really true, though? I mean, I'm pretty sure Saban's pretty regimented in what he does. And he's probably a pretty smart man, too. So, you know, I guess you do have to make adjustments. But the other thing, Paul, let me just move on. It seems like you're winning back the Alabama fans now. You know, it's crazy to listen to them talk. They just bash you that you hated Alabama for so long. But, I mean, like you said, before that, you were Saban's neighbor and kissing his butt all the time. So you can't make them people happy. I'm glad to be a dog. Have a nice day, Paul.
Thank you very much. Chad is up next in Georgia. Good afternoon, Chad.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you, Paul?
We are well. Thank you.
Good. Great job. Great show. Hey, I live right here in Athens, which, of course, is the home of the Bulldogs. We got divided house. My wife graduated here from Georgia. but I'm a Notre Dame alum. And I was wondering, and now, first of all, let me say that I think the SEC is hands down the best college football conference in America. Hands down. But I was wondering if you have any insight, maybe, on the recruiting of what Notre Dame's doing. Because the blue and gold saying we're anywhere from 11th to 7th, but I'd kind of like to know where we're at. I mean, we lost Michael Mayer. We lost a lot of Greece.
Yeah, you know what's interesting, Chad? I remember we sat out in Vegas last April, and we had Marcus Freeman on, and he was number one in recruiting at the time, and the expectation was he was going to do things that Brian Kelly never could do at Notre Dame. And here we are on National Signing Day, and he didn't do it. He had a good class, but I don't know. I don't read blue and gold, but is this class right. Any different than what Brian Kelly used to bring in?
See, and that's what I'm afraid of, because I know I would have called you a year or 2 years ago, whatever. But I know that just like you, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, that Brian Kelly's, whatever Brian Kelly is, it doesn't matter. He's at LSU now. He's doing his job, whatever. And call me a fool, call me whatever. I wanted Urban Meyer to come in. He used to coach on our staff. And
sure.
I don't know how Marcus Freeman's going to do. I like the guy. Seems like he's a great guy.
Yeah, he is. And I think he's a dynamic personality. He's yet to prove that he has full command of the field during games, which is evidenced by some of the disasters that occurred during last season. But you know, the reason he was hired, though, by Jack Swarbrick was he was expected to be an elite recruiter. And Chad, I don't know. I mean, I think you can't just recruit well at Notre Dame. You have to shatter the mold, and I don't think he's done that yet. Thank you very much for the call. Really good to hear from you. And Clayton is up next. Hello, Clayton.
He said my name. Hello.
Clayton, you are on the air.
Hi. What do you think about Stetson Bennett?
Well, I think on the field, Stetson Bennett has been superb. I think the question now is what happens next for him. He made a curious decision this week not to go to the Senior Bowl, where I thought he needed to be. He ended up going to Dallas to work out. He gets arrested. I don't know the disposition of that case. I'm sure in the end it won't be a big deal, but I think he's hurt himself off the field.
I hope he makes better choices.
Well, I will say this, Clayton, without knowing very much, you can get into trouble easily. It's a good lesson to learn. And what are you? How old are you, Clayton?
I'm 11.
Well, I think it's a good lesson for you to learn. I wish at 11 I had paid attention to people and learned about what to do and what not to do. I might have made something earlier out of myself than the mess I made when I was a teenager and later. What would you like to do when you get a little bit older?
I would like to go into college football and then play in the NFL and then, like, maybe go into the military and then come back into the NFL.
Well, Clayton, I will say this to you. I've had a number of people in my family go into the military as a career, and I don't want to dissuade you. You're awfully young, but it's a great career if you take it seriously.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, and you be well, and we'll talk to you soon. Mike is up next in Alabama. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Paul. I want to say a couple of other things about the story yesterday that you had with Wilbur Jackson. I'm the guy that went to school with him his senior year, and someone called after I was off the phone, and that in high school – he wore the number 80 on his jersey.
Right.
And this guy was asking about that. And after for his first year, you know, that freshmen in 1970 were not able to play varsity football. And so when Coach Bryant changed and went to the Wishbone in 1971, in the fall of 71, Wilbur's number, jersey number, changed to 40, and he became one of the halfbacks. Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening. Keep going.
Okay, I'm sorry. And something that is real ironic about that is the three running backs at the time Wilbur was there, two of them were from my high school, Ellis Beck and Wilbur Jackson.
That's amazing.
Were the two halfbacks that ran in the wishbone for Coach Bryant the first year that he ran the wishbone offense. And we in Ozark, the Ozark people, citizens, there is a mural of Wilbur from the time he was at D.A. Smith. And Wilbur's not going to tell you this because he is a very quiet person, but this is something that people need to know, that the small town of about 15,000 raised the money. The mural was put when he was at D.A. Smith, Carroll High School, University of Alabama. Coach Bryant's picture is on that mural. And the Washington Redskins, where he won his Super Bowl rings.
And well, Mike, thank you very much for the call. I hope you were able to be here with us yesterday. We had Wilbur and John Mitchell, who shattered the color barrier at Alabama in the early 70s, and that's what he was referring to. Let's continue with more phone calls, and Bubba is in North Carolina. Hello, Bubba.
We're shaking, Bo.
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, buddy. I've been hearing these Georgia and Alabama fans going back and forth about being a dynasty or building a dynasty. Honestly, I think the dynasty is the Southeastern Conference itself. Nick Saban set the bar so high in this conference. You had every other school at a fever pitch trying to reach that level with their football programs. And steel sharpens steel. And, you know, I know everybody says, oh, the SEC is the best football, because they literally are, because Nick Saban has set the bar that high in this conference. And you can take a middle-of-the-pack SEC school usually and go out and compete with the top of every other division. And, you know, what constitutes a dynasty? How long does that have to last? You know, I think you're seeing now the success of Georgia. Alabama's going nowhere. Now you've got two teams that are practically dominant. And you've got LSU, you've got Tennessee, you're going to have Auburn, South Carolina.
Well, to me, Bubba, a dynasty is when you control the narrative in the sport and you are winning at an overwhelming clip. I think you could argue Golden State is in the midst of a dynasty in the NBA. They're winning every other year. You see that in various other sports. So the Patriots under Brady had a dynasty going. But I do think we naturally confuse Saban and his seven national championships overall, six at Alabama, with a dynastic run. I mean, it seems like that run has been sputtering, 17 and then 20 during COVID, and now Kirby has two in a row. I think when you win two in a row, it makes it more difficult for the other school to claim a dynasty.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about that. I mean, when Pete Carroll was at USC, they were pretty much a dynasty for, what, five years?
Exactly. Now, I mean, Alabama's dominance in the game. Now, Alabama has so many stats that are mind-blowing in terms of being number one every year since 2008. But at some point, and I think the dynasty conversation really is on the line next year. Alabama needs to win for that conversation to have much life left in it. You don't have a dynasty because you're number one on recruiting day. Alabama is one or two every year, and so is Georgia, and that's really the issue for Alabama. I'm not saying Alabama can't win again. I think there's a good chance. I think they probably will win again, but right now Georgia has the upper hand. We'll take a break. More to come right after this message.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back here on a Wednesday, Bill is up next, Kentucky. Hey, Bill.
Thank you, Mr. Feinbaum, for having my call. I was wanting to tell you one Bear Bryant story.
Okay.
The last time he came to Kentucky to play them, Kentucky was ahead 14-0. In the second half, the Bear come out wearing a blue blazer. And Commonwealth Stadium went crazy, and he commenced to beat us 28-14.
Ed Bear. Oh, man.
And the next thing I got to say, the worst mistake we made after the Bear was not hiring Howard Snellenberger. And if we had of... he would have been as successful at Kentucky as he was at Louisville.
Well, thank you, Bill, for sharing those stories. Appreciate it. Mitch is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Mitch.
Hello, Paul. Paul, now you know you was a Javon Musk man back in the 70s. I can see that orangish copper bottle.
Was that anything like? Was that anything like Brute for Men?
It was. I guess it was more like Musk.
I think it was. Whatever that means.
Means it was musky, really. But I love the fact that you remember High Karate. that was something, wasn't it? I have not asked you, but I want to know your true opinion. What do you think of Riley and Jeff Scott coming to Clemson?
I think it's very positive. I think Dabo needed an upgrade, and I think he now has that. What exactly will Jeff Scott do?
He is an analyst, and okay. he is coordinating offensive recruiting.
Okay. Well, I think Jeff really was an outstanding coach, and I think Riley is the hot new toy, and I don't blame Dabo for testing it out, but I think with Scott in the back room, there's some parental guidance that will be helpful, and I think it was critically important because I didn't like his decisions a year ago when he kept it in house, and I think that was proven correct.
You got to remember, I was somewhat unhappy all season because of that. But I want to leave with one thing. I want to say to Augie, I hope that his mother-in-law is doing better, and I've been praying for her.
Well, thank you very much, Mitch. We appreciate that. Speaking of Dabo Swinney, interesting, always interesting when he has a press conference. He ended his signing day event by asking boosters to donate to Clemson's NIL. Then he proceeded to step on the message. It's called burying the lead. By saying, there's not one kid that has come to Clemson for NIL. Not one. But we don't want anyone to leave because of NIL. That is not what I call a very confident approach. NIL right now is at the centerpiece of recruiting, and Dabo is acting like, well, we don't really need it. We're good without it. But we just want to make sure we have some guardrails. Passive aggressive doesn't work here, Dabo. Kevo is up next. Hello, Kevo.
Hey, Paul. I've learned more about Ozark in the last 2 days than I ever have in my whole life.
Yeah.
I want to go see the murals, and if they have 15,000 people, that's more than I had in my whole county.
Yeah, we will be doing the show tomorrow live from Ozark, Alabama, just in case you were wondering. And the Ozark Mountain Daredevils will be performing at halftime.
Yeah, and we're lucky to have a Dollar General where I'm from. They probably have a Walmart in Ozark. But Stetson Bennett, has there been a reason why he got arrested for public intoxication that morning? As he mean, well, he was knocking on doors, right?
Apparently, yeah, maybe. Listen, I have heard almost nothing since the arrest came out, which is to Stetson's credit. He didn't try to talk himself out of it. Apparently, his lawyers are dealing with it.
He's not a Jehovah's Witness, is he, Paul?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, those are the people knocking on doors early in the morning.
Yeah, no,
sometime,
I remember when Michael Jackson he came to Birmingham when I was living there and literally started knocking on doors. Can you imagine? I mean, this wasn't this was at Michael's peak in like '84. He was the number one entertainer in the world. And
he was knocking on doors in Birmingham.
He was knocking on doors in Birmingham for the Jehovah Witnesses. Yes,
that sounds like a horror movie plot line there, Paul. But hey, the guy from Kentucky, I like listening to him. I could hear every letter he said. Hey, Mister Feinbaum.
Well, listen, Kevin. Kentucky lingo is a little bit different than Alabama. But the good news was for Bear Bryant, even though he went to school in Tuscaloosa, those years in Kentucky prepared him.
Yeah, the biggest mistake Kentucky made was not hiring Howard Schnellenberger.
You're right.
Yeah.
That's Howard Schnell. Now you got to put a few more syllables in Schnellenberger.
Yeah, I know. I work with a guy who looks like Howard Schnellenberger. I keep wanting to put a cigar in his face, but I will one day. But hey, Paul, God bless you, man.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Take care.
Howard smoked a pipe, by the way. Dexter is in Birmingham. Hello, Dexter.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing today?
We are doing well. Thank you, Dexter.
I want to ask you a couple of questions about Alabama.
Okay.
All right. First, I want to ask you about what you think about the quarterback. Do you think who's going to be the quarterback for next year? And I want to ask you about Simpson. We didn't get to see him play that much the last year. Do you think he'll be a pretty good quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, everybody likes him. If Alabama does not get a quarterback in the portal, I think it will be Simpson. So, Simpson a year ago was one of the top quarterbacks in the country on signing day.
He was a five-star recruit, wasn't he?
Yeah, yes, he was.
Yeah, we didn't get to see him, but I hope I get to, because I know the other quarterback we had last year, you know, filled in for Bryce Young, but he can run good, but I don't think he'll be there.
I don't see Alabama winning a national championship with Milroe at quarterback.
No, me neither, unless he can learn how to throw. Because he can run.
I remember five years ago, we were saying the same thing about Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, right, man. I believe he looked like a Heisman Trophy player. I believe he's going to win the Heisman, but be a candidate for the Heisman Trophy.
Dexter, people say he's really good. I've only seen him in mop-up duty. Hey, thanks for the call. We head to the break. A lot to do today. It is National Signing Day, although there's been very little news. That's because most of it, if not all of it, happens now in late December. We take a break. More of your phone calls. We will come back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Great to have you with us, and Wayne is up next. Hello, Wayne.
Hello, Paul.
Hey, thank you for calling.
Hey, I just wanted to address the question you had. One of your callers was talking about Michael Jackson going out door-to-door in Birmingham.
Yes.
He did. I have a personal friend that accompanied him that day.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember. I saw it on the local news, but I assumed it was true. But I'm glad to hear it was.
Yep. He was dressed kind of incognito, but he's been a couple of hours out in the field ministry with Jehovah's Witnesses in Birmingham.
Yeah, and let me stress, at this moment in time, I think it was right after Thriller. Yeah, I mean Michael Jackson, I mean he was at the epicenter of the entertainment world. I mean, this wasn't later on after all the controversy. Oh, yeah. I mean, this was at his absolute zenith.
He had come to
Birmingham to rehearse for his tour. I never understood why he wanted to go somewhere a little off the beaten path, and he used the I think the Civic Center down there to rehearse before they went out on his world tour.
That could be.
I worked downtown, so I followed the story pretty. I just did not realize. I mean, I just vaguely remember on the news they had a story one day about him going door to door. So they obviously talked to one of your people there. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out Sam, who is in Delaware. Hello, Sam.
Hello, Paul. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
Appreciate I just wanted to ask you if you knew one of Paul Bryant's. Coach Bryant's protégés, Jerry Claiborne.
Yes, I did meet him a couple of times. He was the head coach at Maryland for a long time.
Yes, yeah, so he left. He was my coach, 1952 at Augusta Military Academy.
Really?
In Virginia.
Oh wow!
And then he went back. He had Bryant up there. He had Adolph Rupp up there. And they were recruiting four guys from Kentucky, a guy named Bob Hudson, Bob Williams, Duke Kernute, and Jerry Beatty. And he said, I'll take that skinny kid, Arbuckle, but he says he has to come there and work out with us, and then we'll see whether he does. One of the biggest mistakes in my life was not to take him up on that. I decided I knew too much, and I went other places.
Oh, my.
Wanted to say how much I appreciate your show and what you do and the comments you make to the people who are in a little difficulty at time. Have a good day, and I'd like to be able to call back again and talk to you further.
Well, Sam, what a fascinating story. No, Jerry Claiborne, always regarded as among Coach Bryant's top assistant coaches who later became head coaches. Will you be well, and thank you for sharing that story with us.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks. A good day.
You too. How interesting. We could all go back to that. It's amazing how we have to make some of the most important decisions in our life at an age when we're just simply not prepared for it. Where to go to school, other more weighty decisions a little bit later on. But our friend there's still thinking about that decision many, many years later. We're up against a break. We're halfway home here on a Wednesday afternoon. It is National Signing Day. Not a lot of news, but we'll continue to mine for some more stories before we run out of time here. Your phone calls around the corner. More guests to come. We're coming right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.